Loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. Now, before we jump in today's episode, allow me to go on a little rant about what is the number one thing holding you back from getting the restaurant you want. You see, you are lying to yourself. Denial is a powerful emotional drug that tempts us to stay where we are. It comes from that place inside all of us that doesn't want to know the truth. It's a byproduct of that infamous comfort zone that we all have. You know that place where we retreat to escape the world and feel, well, you know, really comfortable. We avoid the truth because sometimes it can be both painful and fearful. And that is kind of a double whammy. Your options: make the changes you know deep down inside that you must, or stay safe in your comfort zone. You probably know what most people choose. They justify that decision to stay in their comfort zone by using what is known as verbal softeners. Now, these are little white lies that are designed to make you feel good for now. Maybe you've heard, or maybe you've even said some of these. You know, things are not that bad. It could be worse. Well, you know, eventually they'll change. You know, it's just a rut. Yeah, I really love that last one. When people tell me that they're in a rut, I usually reply, the only difference between a rut and a grave is the depth. Here's the thing. All those statements are fear dressed up as optimistic banter. You can convince yourself pretty much of anything, including how bad you're supposedly not doing. Here is my restaurant coach prescription for the day. Stop lying to yourself. If things are not 100% the way you want them, stop coming up with excuses and lies. You are never going to get what you want from your restaurant, or from yourself for that matter, until you admit that things sometimes just suck. Now, if you want to stop working so hard and make more profits, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to head over and check out Restaurant KPI Mastery. I partnered up with the number one KPI and efficiency consultant in the world, Darren Mansari, to create a new program that has been beta tested with over 100 independent restaurants in 7 different countries. And honestly, I'm telling you, I was blown away with the results. Members of this group have been averaging an increase of 8 to 12% in their profits. That's crazy. And then one client actually has been consistently hitting 18% profit for the last 3 months, and that's with COVID going on and happening right now. So just head over to www.restaurantkpimastery.com and you can get a demo and to see if this could really help you in your restaurant. Now let's jump into the episode with marketing master Bruce Irving from Smart Pizza Marketing. Hey, welcome to today's show. My guest today needs no, or very little, introduction. He's been a regular on my show, Bruce Irving, Smart Pizza Marketing. Bruce, how are you today?
Donald Burns, thank you so much. I am fantastic. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me join you on your podcast again.
Always great to have you on the podcast.
It's always great to be on your podcast.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love being on your show too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got some really cool stuff. And let's kind of get, before we get into some of the questions, I mean, you got some really cool stuff that you're working on. You got a magazine coming out.
Yes, we're doing a digital magazine.
That's so badass.
Yeah, I think I've always wanted to do a digital magazine, but as you know, I'm not the best writer. But I've curated some great writers like yourself, some friends that I've built up some relationship with over the years. And I said, you know what? I want to put together a magazine, digital, not print, but digital, that's easy to read and like people can read and get information. And even if you're not in the pizza industry, you can go check it out and, you know, read some articles from some great minds in the business and learn how to get better help or figure out marketing or hear great stories. Because I've realized that as much as I don't love to read and I am a big audio guy, there's a lot of folks out there who do like to read.
That's true. Yeah. I know I've been getting lots of pressure to record my books finally on audio.
Oh, you should do that 100%. Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to find a studio right now because everybody's like shut down.
Can't you just do it right out of your house like you're doing it right now?
Yeah, I don't know if the quality would be good enough.
I think done's better than perfect, though, isn't it?
That's true. Yeah, but you know how I am. I'm a little bit on the perfection side. But you know what? I'm gonna take your advice. I'm gonna order some stuff. I'm gonna get set up.
Do one chapter and then send it to somebody and see if it's good enough. And then you're not before you do the whole book.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea.
But I think you have a great voice. I think your audio is coming through great. I think you reading the book will add a different dynamic to it because you can put emphasis on certain things that you want to emphasize. And like sometimes when you do an audio book, you get to ad lib, right? And add things.
Oh, yeah. I love it when authors go off script.
Yeah. It's like a bonus. I love it. You get an extra feature.
Yeah. I love that stuff. Yeah. So, hey, before we get going, also, too, I want to say a quick shout out to our sponsor for the show. If you're looking for a badass POS system, then go. It really complements your badass restaurant. And go check out my friends over at Upserve at upserve.com.
So, excellent.
Yeah. So, a magazine. When's the magazine launching?
The magazine is launching.
You just fixed my audio here. Sorry. The magazine is launching end of October, beginning of November.
End of October, beginning. All right, awesome.
So that's
perfect. Just in time. Time for the holidays. Goal for that. Just in time for the holidays.
Yeah, it's going to be it's not going to be every month. It's going to be every other month. So we're going to do six issues a year. That's the goal.
Very cool. See how it goes.
I'm committed to a year. I'm committed to 1 year. See how it goes. See if people enjoy it. See if I enjoy doing it. And if all goes well, it'll be something that we continue on.
Very cool. That's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm also looking forward to contributing. So
yeah,
I know your team's reached out to me and I said, hey, whatever you need, I'm in.
Yeah, I love it. It's going to be a great, Rudy Mick is going to be writing an article. I think we have some interesting interviews with some well-known restaurateurs in the business as well. So it's going to be, the first issue is going to be pretty good.
Oh, very cool. You know, the problem is there's always that first issue, then you got to keep it going, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know what though? I've done the podcast and you know this, like doing the podcast, I have two podcasts now, so
yeah,
lining up guests and interviewing and emailing people and kind of organizing that, I've done for quite a while now, so that's not as hard for me as it may be for someone who's like just starting out.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Plus, I've interviewed like 500, 5 million people on the podcast, so I have a lot of people I can reach out to and ask for favors.
How many people do you have on a podcast now?
Well, we've done 300 episodes of the SPM show. Right. We probably did 150 live shows, and then I have 20 or 35 episodes of the local business podcast that we've done. So we've done quite a bit of podcasts. 500 maybe.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You're still doing live every day, right?
Yeah, Monday, Wednesday. I'm trying to do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but right. You know, sometimes life and business gets in the way. But I'm trying to, as long as I have something, this is my goal. I want to be not boring, and I want to make sure that I have something good to say and something that's going to help the audience in 10 or 15 minutes. So if I have something that I want to share that I think is valuable to people listening, then I go live. If I don't, I don't. I don't want to waste anybody's time with crap.
Very cool. You know, COVID-19 is really shaking up our industry just down to its core. And what is your view right now of the industry as you kind of see it?
You know, obviously COVID's horrible, right? And a lot of people have been affected and it's, you know, done a lot of bad things to our economy. But if you can look at the bright side of this horrific thing, I think that it's made people do things in their business that maybe they've always wanted to do, but never really pulled the trigger. And then this has made them have to pull the trigger, right, like adding online ordering or doing takeout or diversifying the way that you make money in your business. So I think it's an opportunity. And I feel like those businesses that are closed or have closed forever, if you really dig deep into those businesses that have closed forever, they're businesses that have been around for 30 years. And maybe they were going to close eventually sooner than later anyway. This just kind of made it faster.
Yeah, I have the same kind of philosophy. If you were running a bad business, this kind of just escalated your closing. I mean, if you were just limping along, struggling, this just kind of like put the nail in the coffin for a lot of places.
Yeah, and it teaches you something. It teaches you, and this is a lesson that I've really learned talking to a lot of folks, is that moving forward, we know whatever the new normal looks like, I really think you should make sure that whatever business you have multiple streams of income and you're not solely dependent on your dining room being full in order to make money. And if that goes away, then you're screwed.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. I've had restaurants and clients of mine that have pivoted, and they're actually, I mean, believe it or not, they're up over last year, even without in-room dining.
That's crazy. That's great, though.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's like, I think this is the cut from a consumer's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has solidified the fact that people are ready to order online, ready mm-hmm. to get takeout and eat at restaurants in their own home. You know, obviously the younger generation of folks were already kind of comfortable doing that. It's the people who were 30 plus that were kind of on the fence. But now right. I think they're totally on board and they're used to ordering online, going to pick it up hands free, curbside, or getting it delivered and dropped off at their house. And they're totally fine with that now.
That's true. That's so true. So, you know, being able to pivot and change your concept is paramount. And I know we've talked about this before. What are some ways, though, you've been recommending to your clients, your marketing clients, how should they shift their marketing programs?
Listen, it's always been the same. Communication. Mm-hmm. You're communicating yep. to your customers
mm-hmm.
about what you do and how you do it. The shift has just become you have to do that faster. And more frequently. And how do you do that? You go digital, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, right. email, your website. People want information. And what this has taught those folks who were hesitant to get on the digital bandwagon was that if you want to get a message to your customers quick, you need to be on social media and you need mm-hmm. to be online because the world moves fast. And if you want to get information into your customers' hands fast, you need to have a platform that people are used to going to check out that information for you. So it's not so much that we've changed what we've said. We've just doubled down on what we've been saying for the last 4 years. And by we, I mean me.
Right.
Get on social media. Make sure you have an updated platform. Make sure you're communicating with your customers as frequently as you possibly can. And build a following. And don't be boring. Be yourself. If you're weird, be weird. If you're awkward, be awkward. Just be who you are.
I love that. Yeah, that's one of the biggest things I get away from your kind of message that you say is just don't be boring.
Yeah. Be yourself. There's so many businesses. And I just put this out there today. And I don't know why what made me think of this today. Maybe because I was trying to look for a local place around me that I wanted to kind of go check out. And they're all the same. And I'm why does everybody try to be like everybody else instead of being like what the business is that they actually want to be.
Exactly.
You know, like if you're a business owner, don't look at your competition that's in your area. Like look at outside your industry and see what those people are doing to grow their businesses and maybe incorporate that into your personality or use that to get ideas versus trying to please everybody. Because when you please everybody, you end up really not pleasing anybody.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No, you got to stand out. Yeah. You got to stand out. Everyone wants to blend in. I hate that. It's like the most boring thing in the world.
I think what happens is business owners don't want to turn anybody away. Every potential warm body is a potential customer and a potential sale, which is fine. But that's not going to get you to really grow. You mm-hmm. don't grow by being like everybody else. You grow by being yourself and you being unique and bringing a unique entree or atmosphere or perspective to the restaurant world. And it may mm-hmm. not, and it's slower growth than being like everybody mm-hmm. else. But in the long run, if you're in it for the long run, that's how you grow the most.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. You got to stand out, man. Stand out or you fit in.
Yeah. Like you're going to be like everybody else. Then all people do is choose you based on price.
Yeah. And then your commodity. And then commodity always goes to the lowest price.
Yeah. 100%.
100% always. And that's why the big national chains always have problems because they kind of blend in and then all they're doing is doing the value meal deals all the time. Yeah. And then all they're doing is just competing on that. So yeah,
I, you know, especially in the pizza industry, a lot of people mm-hmm. look at Domino's and Papa John's and see right. that they're hiring 10,000 drivers and they're really growing in sales, but those are technology companies. They know how to trigger customers to order more frequently. So when you see that $5.99 medium pizza,
right.
You know, that's a way to get information, right? Which we always say, like you want to offer things for free as a business to get people's email, phone number, mm-hmm. address, social media handles, whatever information you can gather from your customers, incentivize them to give you that information. But it's what they do with that information that sets exactly. them apart versus the local independents. Local yeah. independents don't do much with it. Domino's, Papa John's utilize it. They have follow-up sequences. They have text message, email, they follow you on social. They have all of those mm-hmm. things in place to use that information to get more sales later.
I have a client, it freaked me out when they told me they have an 8,000 person email list and they don't email anybody.
What's the point?
I know. I was like, what, are you kidding me?
You know what happens is I think a lot of folks don't know what to email.
It's so easy. Just communicate. Like you said, just say hi. Yeah. Hey, I'm thinking about you. You know, just be yourself. Like you say, be yourself.
Yes. I mean, so it's, when someone signs up to our email, there's mm-hmm. a message that I have that goes out. And you can sign up at our email, smartpizzamarketing.com/email. I don't sell anything in the email. We have sponsors in the email that you can check out, but like, there's no hard selling from me.
Right.
It's just information. But what I do is I have an auto follow-up sequence that says, hey, it's Bruce. And it is automated, but they do go to me. Hey, it's Bruce from the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. Thanks so much for checking it out. Quick question. How did you find me?
Right.
And reply to this email goes directly to my inbox. I get so many replies from people that says, hey, I found you from the podcast. And it just mm-hmm. starts a conversation.
Exactly. That's all it's about. I always tell people, you know, the secret to social media is being social.
Right. It's
not true. A one-sided conversation. It's not like, you know, hey, here's me. This is all about me. No, make it about them.
I mean, when you're super famous, you can get away with that, but not if you're a local business.
But still, even then, I hate, I just think that's, it's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. So let's switch over to leadership. You know, leadership is real critical at this time with restaurants. What do you think is the number one trait a leader needs today?
You know, this is hard for me because I wasn't the best leader in the world when I was operating. I'll be honest. Nobody ever taught me like what good mm-hmm. leaders looked like or what qualities good leaders had. It's something that I've only really learned by talking to guys like you and Rudy Mick and other operators who do a great job. So I'm not necessarily the best person in the world to answer this question. But what I think is a good leader is communication. I think communication is undervalued. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You can never over-communicate with your staff, with your spouse, with your kids, whoever it is. And I think a good trait a leader can have is finding qualities in people that they mm-hmm. may not think they have and then sticking them in areas of the business that they will thrive in, even if they may not think they're going to thrive there.
That's true. That's so true. Yeah. I call it asset allocation, taking your assets and applying them to the most potential they have.
Yes. I think that's a good point. Like, right. But not asking them what they want.
No, you have to
figure out what they do good at and then put them in that spot. You know who was great at that? Walt Disney. If you ever go read a biography, Walt Disney was fantastic at that. There's a lot of stories about him taking people out of his company in the early days and putting them like on the Disneyland project. And they were like, what am I doing on the Disneyland? I'm an artist. And he's like, trust me, you're going to do great. You're going to love it. And then they ended up becoming the president of Disneyland.
Oh, wow.
So he would like find qualities in people that they didn't even know they had and put them in a spot to thrive. He was fantastic at that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You've had a couple people from Disney on your show before, right?
Yeah. Lee Cockrell, who was the vice president of Walt Disney Corporation. Mm-hmm. He opened Disneyland Paris. He was also vice president of the Magic Kingdom in Disneyland, but he oversaw 40,000 employees.
Damn. Yeah, my little team of three seems really small now. Yeah,
mine too. I have no team. I have all just kind of part-time people who work with us and help us out. But like, yeah, talking to him too, it's like, how do you get past that? That's like, for a guy like me, so the most employees I've ever had was probably 80. Right? We had two pizzerias.
Mm-hmm.
One had 50 employees or 60 employees. One had, 20. So the most people I've ever managed at one time is 80. And I thought that was a lot. Like, imagine being responsible for 40,000 people.
Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah. I think the most ever, when I worked for Wolfgang, there was a time I was managing probably like 300 people.
That's like a lot. Like, you think 300 people, like, holy moly.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
I know.
But yeah, he had a lot of great. We had many podcasts and he was on our summit where he talked a lot about like what qualities he looks for in people and communication and what he taught the people that worked right under him that directly worked with those 40,000 employees, like how to build a good team. And he had great ideas and talked a lot about how to do that better.
Very cool. Yeah. Pizza Summit. You're doing another one, aren't you?
I don't know if I'm doing another one. I haven't decided. I feel like I'm kind of summited out.
You know, I'm in if you do it.
I know you. I know. I'm going to leave it to the people. I put an email out there. I haven't got a huge response of people saying they wanted it. But I feel like when we did this, when I did the summit, it was pretty early, right? Like everything was kind of closed down. Yeah, it was like April, the first week of April, almost like one of the first summits out there. And since then, there's been 4 million summits.
Oh my God, I know. I get emails every day from someone doing a summit. And then, you know, you did your summit. I did the Conquer Summit in May.
Yeah,
you were early. Yeah, now everyone's doing a summit.
So that's like, I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to do the same thing everybody else does. Like going back to the first point we said, like be different. So I'm trying to think of a way that I can do something different. And if I can pull it off that it's different.
I got an idea for you. I'll talk to you about it later.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Cause I'm up for something. I just don't want to do the same thing I did.
I got an idea. I've been power. Cause I had the same thing. I was like, do I really want to do it? Cause normally I do my, you know, my, restaurant, my success summit in the fall, but in, you know, we can't meet this year. So I was thinking about doing it online, but now I'm like, I need to do something different too. So yeah, let me talk to you about it. I have an idea.
When we get off this, we'll talk about it.
Really cool idea. So yeah.
I've been thinking about something too. Maybe we have the same idea.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
We probably do actually, because we tend to come up with ideas that are similar. Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. So let's talk about self-care. You know, what do you do to take care of yourself? Especially since COVID happened.
I know, right? You can't go to the gym as much. I actually finally just started to get to go back to the gym like a couple weeks ago.
I know. They just opened up, you know, I'm a big Orange Theory fan. They just started opening New Mexico. Shut down everything for a long time. And then they opened their gyms up a while ago, but you have to wear a mask. And they just opened Orange Theory like 2 weeks ago. And I've been going back and, oh, it's been my salvation.
What is Orange Theory, by the way?
Orange Theory is a chain. It's a franchise. And it's basically, it's like a cross, kind of cross training workout. You do some cardio. So you have some, you know, treadmill work. You have a rower. There's a water rower they do, and they do a lot of floor work with weights.
Oh, that's cool.
And they do some stuff with TRX bands and a lot of core work. It's nice because it's, for me, it's someone else telling me what the workout is.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's every day is different. I don't know what to expect. And I'm telling you, there's exercises I probably wouldn't do at the gym, like deadlifts. I'm not going to do deadlifts.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to the gym going, oh, I can't wait to do deadlifts today. You know, I'm like, oh, no. So it's nice because it makes you kind of, okay, all right, it's part of the class, I'll do it.
Right.
So I do a lot of exercises I normally wouldn't do, and it works on muscles that I normally wouldn't do. And I mean, I was down before COVID hit. I was down to like 13% body fat.
Really?
Which for me was like, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
Unfortunately, COVID put that all back on and then some.
Yeah, I mean, so when COVID first hit, I started, because it just hit at the right time where I live in Boston, and it was pretty nice out, so... I started going for like a morning walk and a nighttime walk.
Oh, nice.
And then I used to go to the gym 5 days a week, just the regular gym, but that closed. So I got like rubber bands and a kettlebell, and I was doing some stuff around the house. But I love going for that morning walk, you know, when nobody's out. 7 o'clock in the morning, get out there, go for the walk, put the headphones in, listen to a podcast or an audio book, and just spend 30, 45 minutes. It's like my meditation. I can't sit down and meditate for 15 or 20 minutes in silence. Like, my head will explode.
Like I do.
Yeah, I can't do it, but I can go out and for a walk and like, that's my meditation. So I go for walks. I go to the gym. I think it's super important to take care of yourself and any kind of exercise, basketball, ride a bike, play with your kids in the pool, go for a walk in the morning, get to the gym, whatever you can do to get physically going is going to help your brain for sure.
You should try an exercise I do. And you know, everyone knows I'm a huge Tony Robbins fan.
Yeah.
So he does this exercise called priming, and it's actually, there's a YouTube video on it. And it takes you through some breath work, and then it takes you through a visualization exercise, some gratitude, and then you visualize some stuff in the future. I like it a lot because it gives me a little time to kind of refocus my brain, but also helps me get some breath work in. I always say it kind of kills two birds with one stone. So I get some visualization, I get some gratitude in, and it also helps me with some breath work.
Huh. Send me that link if we have a YouTube video. Cool. I'll definitely check it out. I'm always up for something new that helps out for sure.
Yeah, and then don't have to sit there in silence and just meditate and think, oh my God, I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah, man.
It's him talking, so it kind of walks you through, and it goes fast. I mean,
oh, good.
It's like 10 minutes, 10, 12 minutes, but it goes pretty fast. I mean, I'm always like, wow, it's done already. Damn.
After 10 minutes, like I sit down in silence and like, you know, it's like, have you ever seen that movie, Here Comes the Boom with Kevin James?
No.
Oh, go check it out. It's a super funny movie.
Okay.
It's about him being a UFC fighter. And there's this part where he's a teacher and he's teaching a class that doesn't speak English.
Oh, wow.
So he's teaching them English, and like, he's trying to do this for extra money. And there's a part where it's in this classroom, but it's a night class where he tries to teach them English. And in the classroom next door, there's like an AA meeting going on. And in the beginning of the AA meeting, they do like the, you know, they bow your head and you're like, you say thank you to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they can hear it in the other room. So like there's this part where this guy puts his head down and like he like looks up every 2 seconds. Like, is it over yet? Like, that would totally be me. Like, that's me.
Be, yeah. It's like, look are we, up, are it's we like, done? Are we done?
Has it been 20 minutes yet? It's been 30 seconds. Minutes?
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's totally cool. So over the last few months, you know, I've invested a lot lately on, you know, some mastermind groups and stuff like that. And, you know, some really cool books. I've been reading a lot of new programs. I've been really big into this, you know, since COVID hit, about really escalating my kind of self-improvement game. What's one of the best investments you've made over the last couple months?
Huh, that's a great question. I mean, I've always been involved with mastermind groups for the last, mm-hmm. I'd say 5 years. We run mastermind groups, and I always get great ideas and inspiration. Even though I'm naturally an introvert and I don't like to be around groups of people, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that it drains me and I need to recoup. But the mastermind groups that I'm part of, I love it because we get so many ideas from being around people and helping them answer questions. And not only like them asking us questions, but other people. It's always good to be around people who have different perspectives than you.
Oh,
have,
yeah.
Because that helps you a lot.
How many mastermind groups you run right now?
We have like five different ones, I think. Damn. Yeah.
I think last time I talked to you, had like three or four.
I try to keep them to like 20 or 25 people max.
Mm-hmm.
I find that more than that, it gets less. The best part about being a part of a mastermind group is you get to know the people in the mastermind
group. Yeah,
and
that's true.
Understand their business and they understand your business. So as the calls get further along, they know your business so they can help you more because they understand what you're trying to do versus everybody being new all the time and in and out. And then it's, nobody really knows anybody. I love podcasts. Reading it, like audiobooks and podcasts are great for me too.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I have one mastermind group right now and I'm getting ready to start a second one. And I've had a really good, I mean, I've been really impressed by, you know, I have like 30 people. That's my cap.
Yeah.
I got 30 people and I get standard, I mean, 25, 26 people show up on a call.
Really?
I mean, it's pretty great, you know, show up rate, which I'm really impressed with normally. And you know what? You and I have been in mastermind groups and like, you know, it's a couple hundred people and like 10 people show up, you know?
You have to be dedicated. That's why I charge money. As much as I don't really need the money to charge people, it shows a level of dedication. So if you're willing to
spend
money and dedicate time, you're not going to show up.
Yeah, no, you're not. That's why, you know, I charge a premium for my mastermind groups. So,
yeah. Yeah. You're back around. I was group. I did. I was in there. I think I was in there. Wasn't I in a call?
With you were in a mastermind group with me for a while.
Yeah. We were in a mastermind. I don't know what happened to that. We all just kind of like just.
We kind of like went our separate ways. Well, you know, Mike's having a baby, you know.
I know. That's great. Congratulations to Mike. That's amazing.
Mike and Eno. Yes. Shout out to our buddy.
I love Mike.
Yeah. You know, and Yigal, he did a couple summons too. He's got his pawn leader stuff going. Yeah. I love mastermind groups. So. I'm actually in two right now that I belong to for
as
me.
Not ones that you run?
Yeah, two I belong to, but I don't run.
What do you get the most, like when you go to a mastermind group, and I know we were in one before, but that was a long time ago. What do you try to get the most out of? Do you try to go in there to help people or do you have questions that you ask?
I go in to have questions and how I can learn and grow my brand.
Yeah.
So most of my mastermind groups I'm in are entrepreneur, online marketing kind of mastermind groups. So I'm trying to expand my brand. Yeah, I just want to be better. And I still have the same business coach I've had since 2009.
Really?
It's the same one. Wow. 2009, same business coach. And he every month, you know, we have now we're down to like only two calls a month. But every time I have a call with him, I kind of dig a little deeper into my psyche and I just come away with something that makes me a little bit better man, better person.
That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome. So what do you see as like the new normal for restaurants?
I don't know. I don't know what the new normal is going to be. You know,
it's crazy.
I hope
think masks are going to be around for like, you know, just.
I think they're going to be around until at least the spring.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's always those people that are afraid anyway. I think they're going to be around a lot longer than we thought they were when this whole thing started or when we kind of got in the lockdown in March. You know, I think if you look at Japan, they wear masks constantly all around. They've always been a culture that wore masks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that it's going to go away for us anytime soon. I've finally gotten used to it. I have to wear it to the gym. I have to wear it to my daughter's softball games and practices. So I'm pretty used to it by now. I think
that's going
to be. But for the new normal, I think we're in a strange time. You know, who knows what's going to happen with the election and what that is going to do to the people's mindset when it comes to what we're going through now. If Trump wins or if he loses, who knows what that's going to look like. But I think the winter is going to be a tough winter for restaurants for sure.
I think it's going to be too. Yeah. I do think, though, that that shift to online ordering and takeout and delivery is not going to – it's going to stay pretty solid.
Yeah.
Because it's – I think, you know, when you have something that lasts this long, it creates new kind of lifestyles, like people ordering, eating at home, watching Netflix. They get used to it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you should do – if you're a restaurant too, winter's coming. So if you have outdoor seating, you're lucky. And you're getting by with that between that and the takeout. But if you're going into winter and you have to kind of get rid of that outdoor thing, I really think you should consider looking at your menu and kind of revamping your menu to a more takeout-friendly price point
than
sit-down menu. Just making your sit-down menu like a to-go one. Like make it a totally different menu.
That's been the biggest game changer for a lot of my clients is streamlining their menu. It's helped them increase their profits so much.
Yeah.
Because they got rid of a lot of those dogs that they didn't need.
And it's like the consumer wants to support restaurants, but they don't want to pay $27 for that dish that they're going to eat at home that they were going to eat in your dining room just because you put it in a box to go.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So takeout delivery, online ordering, they're here to stay.
Yep.
Yep.
No going anywhere. They're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere.
I don't think it's ever going to go back to like not having online ordering.
You're always no. In fact, I have clients that are actually remodeling a lot of their restaurants for when they can do dining, but they're installing like a takeout delivery or like a takeout window.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my daughter's just got a job at a place called Cookie Monster.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, it's a cookie place. Monster.
Yeah.
Kind of feeding off the Boston accent thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place that they serve cookies and ice cream. They serve two things. And they have cookie sandwiches, and they just opened a location right in my town, and they have a really nice dining room, but it's locked, and they put in a side window to order and pick up, and that's all they do now. Like, you can't even go into the restaurant.
And that's it?
Yeah, and it just makes it people just, you don't even have to go into the building. You stand outside.
See, that's nice.
Those social distancing stickers on the ground. You order at one window. You pick up at the next, and you get out of there.
Those social distancing things at the store are so crazy. You know, especially like at the big departments, the big stores, and they say, only go this way, right?
Yes.
You see, people do not watch those. No. They just go their own. They just do back and forth.
My wife gets so mad because she is a stickler for the rules. So she literally will walk up and down every aisle of that. And like she sees someone coming up the wrong way, and she's just like, what are you doing?
Does she give him the look?
She does. She gives me the look. And I'm like, what are you looking at me for? I didn't go the wrong way.
Like you're supposed to say something to him.
Yeah, Bruce, I'm not saying anything. Take care of my business.
Yeah, you're not an extrovert. You're like, I'm just minding my own business. I'm just trying to get through. I'm just trying to get through the store and get out.
That's true.
So that's true. It. I'm just trying to get in and out. Oh, I don't want any extra hassles, especially nowadays. Everyone's like so violent.
Yes.
You know, you just don't want to say anything to anybody. I just want to go in the store, get my thing, get out. That's all I want.
That's all I want to do with my whole life.
That's it. I just want to get in and get out. And I'm a talker. I like to talk. But man, now when I go to stores, I'm in. I know exactly what I want. I head to that. I get it. Check out, self checkout, and I'm out.
Yes,
that's it.
That's the name of the game for me, for sure.
I'm not playing around no more. I'm not playing around. I'm not socializing. You know, I don't care if you recognize me. Hey, nice, bye. Now talk to me. Text me.
Yes, exactly. Text me, email me. We'll talk on the phone.
Text me, email. We'll talk later. Yeah, yeah. Hey, do you think there's anything that restaurants did before that you don't think they're going to be able to do now with COVID?
Yeah, ignore technology.
Ignore technology.
A lot of those restaurants got by on their name and their reputation for the years that they did previous. I don't think that your reputation for what you did in the last 20 years is going to affect people's decision-making at all anymore. Yeah. I think it's going to be totally based on, can they see what you do online? If they like it, can they order from you online? And is the process seamless? And if that's the case, they'll order from you. And if it's not, they probably won't.
If you were going to tell your clients to kind of make a little shift in their marketing message, what's one of the biggest things you've been telling people to shift in their messaging alone?
That's a good question. I don't in their messaging, like I said, go back to my whole bring your personality out in your marketing, like show who you are.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to put yourself out there and don't be afraid to be who you are, even if that is going to, and I don't mean be offensive or a jerk, but what I mean is, like, if you're a quirky person, like, embrace that and put it on camera and put that on social media. And if one person leaves a bad comment, they're going to leave a bad comment. That's fine. You're not going to ever be for everyone.
True.
But try to put yourself out there and be yourself, not too corporate, not phony, but like yourself, because you will attract the customers you want to attract by doing that.
Yeah. I've been telling people lately too, is really push the safety.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, that's people, definitely.
People want to see it. I mean, they want to see what you're doing.
Yeah. I agree. You know? I mean, I think that's a given, right? Like, we talked about.
I think it's a given, but you look at social media feeds, like, I don't see anybody talking, you know, doing it. Only people that we know do. But.
Right. I mean, you do see videos of people who are touching food that didn't have gloves on with, like, the caption down the bottom, "This was recorded pre-COVID."
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see that now, too.
You know, that you do see that a lot. But, yeah, you definitely have to be aware of the fact that people are hypersensitive to that.
Exactly. What's your favorite social media platform?
I like Instagram.
Do you really?
I do. I like Instagram. Facebook is good for ads, but I find myself scrolling on Instagram the most. I'm not a huge consumer of content on any of these platforms, to be honest with you. I don't think that I would even use social media if it wasn't for business purposes. But I do like Instagram. And I think that between stories in the feed, it's, if I was going to suggest people use one platform organically, it's the easiest one to use, and it's got a large audience, and I think it's the easiest one to kind of grow awareness on the quickest if you're starting from zero.
Cool. Who's a couple brands you recommend on Instagram people should follow that do it right?
I think Frank from East Village Pizza. Frank's the bomb. Yeah. I think Tony Bologna is another pizzeria out of New Jersey who does a great job on Instagram. I just interviewed folks on the local business podcast called Goodnight Fatty. That's the name of the business.
Oh, I saw it in your email blast this morning.
Yeah. And so they're a cookie company that only sells cookies from like 5 to 1 a.m. Thursday through Sunday. And they started the business 3 years ago, and they just wanted to create a place where people could go after dinner and have some cookies and some desserts and some ice cream and drinks. But they couldn't, there was no real places like that. People could go to the restaurant, but they couldn't go anywhere after. So they created that, and they named it Goodnight Fatty, not because we're fat, but like they used to call, they're a husband and wife, and they used to be like, "Oh, you're fatty. You want to go get some dessert?" Like just joking around with each other.
Yeah.
So I think they do a great job on Instagram, and they built a huge following pretty much with no advertising other than social media.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. You know, I love, again, brands that show their personality really resonate with people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Wendy's, everybody names Wendy's. They do a good job, but I feel like a lot of people try to emulate what Wendy's does. And Wendy's is Wendy's because when Wendy's did what they do on Twitter, it was new.
The roasting.
Yeah. Yes, like no one else was doing that, and for a big brand like Wendy's to go out there and kind of roast people, like you said, was like unheard of. But now you see all these brands doing it. So when you see other local businesses try to do that, you're like, you're kind of just trying to be like Wendy's.
Exactly. Yeah. Then they start the copycat thing, and then it's like it's not fun. It's not cool anymore.
Right. It's like it was new. It was interesting, and then everybody else tried to do it, and then it becomes uninteresting.
Very cool. Yeah. I'm a big believer in culture, and I think, culture is huge for restaurant success. What do you say? You talk a lot of restaurant owners. What do you say is the key to creating culture?
I think you have to go back to finding the right people, and it comes from the top down. I've learned that from you, and I've learned that from other people we've had on the podcast. Like, it comes from the top down. Whatever the owner does and the managers do, the people below them are going to do. In communication is the prime example of that. Like, you can't over communicate with your staff. Again, I'm not the expert at this. Like, this is not my area of expertise. This is only information that I've gathered from talking to restaurant owners and experts like you and Rudy Mick and all those people who are real experts at building great culture. But I think it comes from the top down. And I think that you have to, as the owner, take responsibility for everything in the restaurant. And if you do that, people below you will do that as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. What are your thoughts on that? I'd be curious to see what you think of that.
Culture to me, well, first off, I always ask people, you know, what describe culture or define what culture is. That's usually the first thing.
What culture is for me is what your employees say about your business when they're outside of your business.
Exactly. Yeah. I would say brand is what the customer thinks of you. Culture is what your team thinks of you.
Right.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. And how do they feel about you? And so many restaurants, like, you know, create a toxic culture because they just don't, you know, they just don't have that. They don't have that caring. It's all about, it's appreciation. Culture is a feeling. That's why it's hard. You know, anybody in a restaurant business, I mean, recipes are recipes, you know, right. In pizza places, you know, you can go and knock off someone's recipes. You can knock off their decor. I could build a restaurant identical to, you know, Frank's place, you know, but I'm not going to be able to copy his culture. And that's what's going to be the separator. Culture is the brand differential to me. It's what separates the goods of a great from the outstanding. The outstanding restaurants, if you ever look at any restaurant you've ever thought of that was really outstanding, I mean, just wow, that place is amazing. It's the culture. You know, because you and I have been to places that had great food, but you just don't go back because the culture sucks. It's toxic. Everyone's negative. They're gossipy.
Yeah. It's funny to see my daughters get to work now because it's...
They're cursed, dude, because he was a dad.
That's true. It's just funny because I pick them up from work sometimes, and the conversations that they have, it's like brings me back to when I was a kid and getting my first jobs. It's like the same conversations, you know, 20 years later, they're having about their job that I was having about my job at that level. It's so funny to see it.
All business problems are people problems.
Yeah, it's true. It's just the things they talk about is exactly what you just described. Like someone coming in with a bad attitude or someone not doing their job when they're supposed to do something or they didn't do something last night. Mm-hmm. It's so funny.
Think about culture is like, you know, there's A players and there's C players. A players don't like C players and C players don't like A players. A players don't like the C players because the C players are lazy and they have to pick up all the slack and do their work for them. And C players don't like the A players because they make them look bad.
True.
Yeah.
Don't be a C player.
Yeah, never be a C player. Actually, in fact, you know, my first book was Your Restaurant Sucks. Second book was Your Restaurant Still Sucks. I'm working on book number 3.
What's it called?
Your Restaurant Culture Sucks.
Nice. I think that's going to be a top seller.
It's going to be my. I decided I wanted to finish out. I call it the Suck series. I want to finish out the Suck series as a trilogy. So I needed one more book. So I was like, you know what? The biggest problem I see with restaurants is culture. So the third one is coming out in December. Your Restaurant Culture Sucks.
I should write a book that goes along with that. Says Your Marketing Sucks.
Yeah, we actually should do a book together and do it.
We should.
Marketing.
That would be
your
great.
Your restaurant marketing sucks.
What's it called when you have four of something?
A quad. I don't know.
The quad will be Your Marketing Sucks.
Your marketing sucks. We might need a fourth book. But I decided that the next one is definitely, that's the biggest thing that's probably the number one thing I coach on is culture.
Well, that's the number one. I do a marketing show, Donald, and the number one question I get asked is about hiring good people. And I'm like, I have no idea. Go talk
about culture.
I have no idea.
Your culture is a magnet. If you have here's another thing too. A talent is not attracted to a C-level culture.
Right. Like they know, A talent can probably tell if that's going to be a good place to work or not.
Exactly. They know right away. And they don't want to work for a C-level place. You know, all those like high-end, you know, high-value, high, you know, big-known places like Wolfgang Puck, all those big places, they don't have problems finding people because they have a good culture.
It's like those businesses that you hear of, like, is it called Zingerman's? Is that one?
Yeah, Zingerman's, yeah, in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah, they're a well-known business that is like people want to go there. And like there was another one. Zappos is another one that people want to work at a lot. I mean, these are really big companies, but people want to work there because they're known for being –
Here's an interesting thing that you have to understand about Zappos. And I kind of been, you know, studying a lot about culture since I'm working on this book on culture. So I've been studying a lot about Zappos. You know, it's harder to get into Zappos to work than it is to get into Harvard. You have a better chance of getting into Harvard than working at Zappos.
Well, you know, another one that I was thinking of, speaking of that, like the way you just mentioned that, my interview with Lee, he was saying that about Disney. A lot of people want to work for Disney because they grow up loving the Disney company and they want to go work there. And he said they have like 100 interview questionnaire that you have to fill out before you even get interviewed for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And he says if 100 people go to fill out that questionnaire, only 50% will even fill it out completely. So it almost eliminates 50% of the people who wouldn't fit in anyway before they even have to waste time interviewing somebody.
Yeah, I'm a huge believer too in behavioral assessments. I use either a predictive index, you can use DISC, or you can use a ProScan. In my new book too, I'm going to go a lot into how behavioral assessments really help you fine tune your team. It's like having a nice car and then turning into a high performance racing machine with behavioral assessments. Huh. So
interesting.
It's going to be cool.
When is it coming out?
December.
Jeez, you pump out these books you wrote three books before I even got one issue of a magazine out.
I'm trying to do a book a year.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But and now, you know, the first one took me a while. The second one, I got the process down. The third one, I'm already jamming on it pretty good. So
you talk about things like I talk about marketing, you talk about culture, like culture doesn't change, right? Like culture 20 years ago is pretty much culture today. Like
it's
marketing
the same.
20 years ago. Yep. If I write a book about marketing next year, it's going to be useless.
Yeah. But there's principles about marketing.
That's true.
About connection, engagement, being authentic that we can talk about.
Not being boring.
Yeah, not being boring. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, the vehicles change, but
the message doesn't.
The message doesn't change ever.
Yeah, that's true.
It's about being authentic. You know, marketing is about being yourself.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah. That's why we should do a book.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We're on. All right. What do you think is one thing restaurants should do right now to get ready for winter?
I think they should go back to what we talked about a few minutes ago and revamp their menu and like really say, okay, we're going to be a takeout delivery restaurant come November when we can't be outside anymore, depending on where you're located, especially in my area. How can we maximize that? What can we do to sell more product in an easier way to be available to people when they want to order from us? And I don't mean like coming up with a big ass menu that pleases everybody. I mean, like, what are we going to do that's really good? Like In-N-Out Burger. I'm fascinated with In-N-Out Burger as a company. They do burgers, fries, and shakes. That's it. It's a multi-billion dollar company with 363 restaurants. And all they do is shakes, burgers, and fries. Yeah.
And that menu has not changed much since the 50s.
I don't think it's changed at all.
I think they added one thing like in the 70s. I think they added one item. That was it.
They have like those secret menu items that are a little bit different.
But yeah, but
for
still,
the most part, it's still place, burgers, fries, and shakes, right?
Yeah, I always tell people if you want to see the power of a small menu, just take a look at In-N-Out.
They do a couple things well. They focus on being the best at what they do, which is burgers, shakes, and fries. They are extremely clean. And they're
extremely clean.
And they have a great culture like you talked about. And they pay their people really well. Like you can make $150,000 a year as a manager of an In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. Great culture.
Yeah.
Great story too. The biggest thing about culture I find is if you want to change your culture overnight, stop focusing so much on the guest experience and focus more on the team experience.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, everyone talks about the guest experience. Was the guest happy? Was the guest this? You know, did you get it to them fast? Did you get it to them in time? You know, but we don't really care about the employees, the team.
Yeah, because if you care, the team cares, they'll pass it on to the customer.
They will. Yeah, if your team experience is solid, your guest experience will be solid too.
So back to your question, I would be like, what can I be the best at? Maybe pick two or three things. What can I be the best at, the most well known for in my area, and master that, and that's what my menu would be.
Exactly right. I think after I heard you on your morning show, I think I made a comment. I said, being different isn't always better, but being better is always different.
100%. Yes. That was the best quote ever. Yeah.
Be the best.
Yeah. You don't have to sell the best. In-N-Out's a perfect example of you don't have to sell 1,000 different things. You can just be the best. And it's like not even the best burger, but the execution is the best.
No, it's not like the most amazing hamburger, but it's just everything about it. The whole experience is, you know, and you're sitting there and that thing's just the onions and the cheese.
It's nice and clean. It's bright. You walk in. Yeah. It's affordable. They're very friendly.
I get a consistent smile. Like everyone's happy to be there.
All of that goes together. Yeah. And like you walk away and you're like, you know what? That was good. I had a good experience. Yeah.
How long do you see restaurants in the restaurant world itself kind of recovering from this pandemic? How long do you think it's going to take?
I think it's going to take years.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that people aren't going to be comfortable going into restaurants like they did in January for a while.
Right.
Especially the way the culture is now, the way the information flows so freely, and there's so many, it feels like this has become a political thing and not necessarily a health thing.
And yeah,
people are using social media to really like point out that fact. And I just think that it's going to be a little while before people feel comfortable going back to restaurants like they used to.
Yeah. The thing that just drives me crazy is that how each state has such different, you know, regulations for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, are they opened up in Massachusetts yet? Are you guys opened up?
So we're, I think we're at 25% capacity indoors, and then you can have outdoor dining. He actually pulled it back. So we're actually doing all right in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of cases, and we don't have a lot of new cases on a daily basis. And he recently pulled it back. So even for outdoor dining, I think you can only have 50 people max.
See, that's like crazy. Yeah. You know, when the data doesn't support it, and then they're like shutting things back down. Like New Mexico did that too. The governor here, you know, we opened up dining rooms. I think it was like 25-50%. Then she shut it back down again.
Yeah. It's, they don't want it to spread, I guess. They don't want it to get worse to back to where it was. But I don't know what, the, like, I don't know the solution to that. But
and then you got and then you got places like New York City and you know, in New Jersey, where you know they're like total shutdown, and there's like no end in sight for when they're going to allow in, you know, in how in room dining.
So New Hampshire is the state above us. They're 100% capacity.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now so I have a client in South Dakota, and they're like 50% capacity. And but when you walk up to when you go to I just actually went to a workup with up there with them. And you wouldn't even think there's COVID going on. I mean, people walk around, nobody's wearing. The only time you have to wear a mask up is, you know, when you walk into like the major chains, like you go to Walmart or a, you know, a grocery store, you have to wear a mask. But otherwise, people just walk around.
It's crazy. Crazy.
And then in New Mexico, if you even go to a patio here, I mean, it's I feel like I'm getting frisked. You know, I'm getting a body cavity search. I'm getting my temperature taken. I'm getting, they're asking like for swabs, they want blood. It's like crazy here.
I haven't been to a restaurant since this started, to be honest with you. I've gotten takeout from restaurants, but I haven't eaten at a restaurant since this all started.
Oh, I've eaten at restaurants.
They don't, I haven't really left my house that much. It's summertime in Boston anyway, so I'm like just hanging out.
The only downside about New Mexico is like in the daytime, you know, it gets up in the hundreds here, so it gets a little warm.
Sit outside, that's too hot to sit outside.
Yeah, but nighttime's beautiful. It's in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. So how do you deal with stress when you're stressed out?
I go to the gym.
Me too.
That's what. That's literally how I deal with stress, exercise. Like go for a walk or I go to the gym. It's the only way that I can get stress relief. That's it.
That's awesome. That's what I do too. That's my go-to also. That's my go-to stress relief.
Yeah, that. Exert in a tremendous amount of force outward at the gym. That totally relieves stress for me.
Yeah. When I worked in restaurants, I used to like go in the walk-in and scream.
Oh yeah, I was like, I would go downstairs and throw stuff around like when no one was there. Holy moly!
Yeah, I always said the walk-in was always the portal of therapy.
It's pretty quiet in there, insulated. You can't really
nice, quiet, well. Insulated. You hear like a outside. Somebody's in there. They're just working things out, man. Yeah. They're just working it out. But you come out better. Just totally. Get it out. Here's the thing. Here's my thing about stress. Do not bottle it up.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. Go for a walk. Exercise. Do something.
Going for a walk is great too. It's not as much stress relief as for me as the gym, but just going outside, listening to a book or a podcast and taking a 20-minute walk and just get away from the situation.
Exactly. Do you see any opportunities for restaurants kind of in this new post-COVID-19 world?
Yeah, ghost kitchens are amazing right now. There's a lot of that information out there about ghost kitchens where you can kind of leverage – and I did a podcast about this with a guy from Chicago who uses his pizzeria as a way to get like, he has like three other types of businesses that he uses inside of his pizzeria. A
salad
place, a sandwich place, a soup place. All
which episode? Pizza.
I'll look it up. It's the one with Rick Gruber from
Rick Gruber.
Brick's Wood Fired Pizza.
Oh, cool. Because I have a lot of clients asking about ghost kitchens lately. So
yeah, we did a whole podcast about how he's leveraging Uber Eats and DoorDash and those third-party platforms, because there's a lot of talk about those people being horrible, which they can be. But
they
he's
can
like,
be.
You know what? I leverage those people because my percentage is low, and I look at it as a way to deliver, which I don't have to. So that percentage goes to the delivery driver anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I use it as a way to capture new customers.
Ooh, see if you can do it for that, and then you get that, because I'm telling you, data is a new frontier for restaurants. Yes. Yeah,
I think the people who have the biggest problem with third parties have no way to leverage to gather the information. So if you can leverage mm-hmm. third parties to get new customers or get exposure to people who may or may not have ever heard of you, mm-hmm. you can do that. But you have to have a way to get that information from those third party, whether that be an email, a phone number, an address. You have to be able to capture all that info to use later to convert them to your own online ordering platform. Right. I'm looking it up right here. I'm trying to figure out
what it was. So what's a new habit you started since you've been on this lockdown COVID thing?
Any new habits that I have? I don't think I have. My morning walks, that's the only thing that's been like truly, truly different for me. To be honest, this whole COVID thing hasn't messed up my routine a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, you and I work from home most. Yeah. I mean, it took a big toll out of my speaking schedule.
True. I don't enjoy speaking that much anyway, to be honest with you.
Oh, I love it, actually. I love speaking.
I know you love it. 288, episode number 288 on the Smart
Episode 288. Podcast, 288.
I didn't love speaking. I enjoyed it while I was doing it, but I didn't love the process, or I didn't look forward to it. So that didn't bother me too much. I like the fact that I don't have to do it as much. I love staying home and kind of being able to talk into the microphone and spread my message just like I would in person there. Mm-hmm. But other than that, my schedule has pretty much been the same.
You know, the one thing I did start doing, I started going to cryotherapy. You know, when they put you in that chamber, it's like a negative 191 degrees.
Yes. How was that?
I actually love it. Really? Now, I normally hate the cold. That's one of the reasons I moved out of Boston.
Yes.
I hate the cold.
I'm with you.
But I don't mind, you know, but the cryotherapy thing is kind of cool. You only go in there for like 3 minutes max. But I mean, it helps me with my joints. You know, I hate to say I'm getting older.
Yeah.
Helps with my joints, helps get with my recovery, you know, because I'm hitting the gym harder now because I'm going back to Orange Theory. I love it.
I can't, like, 3 minutes is doable. 3 months Boston is not.
No, living in Boston's not.
Yeah.
Especially in the winter.
It's great here from May to November.
It's great there June. That's about it. God, I used to say Boston. I love the 2 weeks of summer in Boston. That was
it's true. It's not. It's almost
two
over,
weeks right? of summer. That's all you get. Yeah. So, name one book, audiobook, or podcast that you recommend.
I am recommending the Jeff Bezos Letters, a new audiobook that I discovered. So it's it's a great book. If you're looking to grow your business or mm-hmm. some insights as to how Amazon grew, it's 14 letters that Jeff Bezos himself wrote to investors. The years of growing Amazon. And it gives you some insights inside of his philosophy of customer acquisition, growth, customer service, building the team, technology. It just shows you all of his brain workings over the course of growing Amazon to what it is now, which we know is like one of the biggest companies in the world.
Yeah.
It's called the Bezos Letters. They have it on Audible and on Amazon if you want to read it. But it's a great book.
You know, my trick is, and it's like one of my little hacks, is I'll get the book on Kindle. I'll get the audio book, you know, the unabridged. And then what I'll do is I'll read and listen at the same time. And now I have to listen like 1.5 times because I read pretty fast.
Yeah.
But I find I retain a lot more if I'm listening to the listen to the book and I'm reading at the same time.
Huh,
one of my hacks. I love that. If I really want to get deep into something, I do that.
Yeah, I do listen to it at 1.5 speed as well because I want it to go by quick. But I usually just listen to that when I'm walking.
You start walking faster.
Yeah. Gets me going.
So, hey, what's one quote that you live by?
I live by everything is figure outable.
I love that one. When are you going to start making t-shirts?
I have some. We have a store. I just don't promote it that much, but we do have some.
Oh, dude, you have a store? Yeah. I didn't do a store. I got to get a t-shirt.
Yeah, I'll send you one.
Awesome.
Send you one. Everything is figureoutable.
At smartpizzamarketing.com?
It's not up yet. I'll send you a link. You can kind of take it out. But I'll send you a t-shirt. You don't have to buy one. I'll send you one.
Oh, cool, bro. You're awesome, man.
Everything is figureoutable. I love that quote. And it's kind of like how I started the podcast. When I started the podcast, I didn't know how to do a podcast. I figured it out. Doing this magazine, I don't know how to do a magazine, but I figured it out. Reach out to people like Sean from Entrepreneurial Chef yep. and Pastry Magazine helped me out tremendously with kind of figuring out the logistics. But as long as you want to do something, you have to want to do it though. And that want has to be greater than whatever fear or laziness you have. And as long as the want is bigger, anything is figure outable. I truly believe that.
That is so true. Now, that is an epic quote. And yeah, if people would adapt that one to their mindset, I'm telling you, it would change so many things.
Yeah, because no matter, there's always somebody, especially now with the internet and reaching out to people. And like, if you use Twitter or Instagram or Facebook to like build a network of folks, like-minded people, there's so many people you could reach out to that have either done or tried to do what you're trying to do, and you can ask them questions.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you, my friend. People want to contact you, they can hit you at smartpizzamarketing.com.
Yes, that's the website.
And your other podcast is The Local Business?
The Local Business Podcast. Yeah, you can find that at thebruceirving.com. That's kind of where we keep all the episodes over there.
Thebruceirving.com. Yes. I like that too.
That's the local business one. Yeah. We don't have too many. I think we only have 30 episodes of that one, but they're all pretty good. SEO, Instagram, YouTube. We talk a lot about like marketing methods.
Yeah, I love your local business one. In fact, you have a podcast center with Mike Michalowicz from Profit First. Yes. I contacted him, reached out, and he is going to be on my podcast in October.
He's a super nice guy.
His schedule is pretty booked, but I was like so stoked. I think that is a game changer concept for restaurants, Profit First.
I think the people who did that, and I talked to him kind of as this whole Corona thing was happening in the, in the beginning, people who did that previous to this are fine because they did have a cushion. Even if they had to close for a month or two, they were able to kind of maintain that. So if that's one thing that you should do, go listen to that podcast with Mike and implement that Profit First strategy right now. So that way, if you do have to close down in January, February, you still have some sort of cushion to get you to March and May.
Yeah, he actually has Profit First accountants that will help you set up. I have a couple clients actually that hired Profit First accountants to help with it, to work with them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So it's cool. No, that's a really cool concept, and I'm looking forward to digging into that one with him. But
yeah, he's a really nice guy. That's going to be a great episode.
Awesome. Bruce, thanks so much. I always appreciate you being on the show. Such great insight. All my listeners love having you here because they learn so much, and they always walk away with tons of value. So
my pleasure. Thank you for thinking of me.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.therestaurantcoach.com or download episodes at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify.